Praise the Lord. What a blessing that was. It's just been a blessing being in the house of the Lord tonight. I trust that you've sensed the presence of the Lord here and that you've already been blessed. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, if you look with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians, on Sunday nights we've been going through for some time now and just preaching on the divisions of the Bible. And it's very important that we understand that we hold in our hands the very words of an almighty God. It has been God that has worked through men, and he inspired them to write as what he wanted them to write. And then it's God who has preserved it for us today. If it was preserved by man, there would be a lot of errors, mistakes, and you might be able to write a better version. But if it's been preserved by God, and it says exactly what God has inspired it to say, there is no better version. Amen. And so we just need to stick to what God has preserved for us. As an English-speaking people, we hold to this King James version of the Bible, and it has been used in the United States since the very beginning of the United States, back in 1776, and it has been proven over the test of times to be that which God has blessed and empowered. And so we need to know it. We need to understand that we have the very mind of a creator God written down so that we can better understand him and his will for our lives. And so we've been going through and just studying on the divisions of the Bible. We got through the entire Old Testament, understanding why we had every book of the Bible. And then we got into the New Testament. We've been studying and finding out why we had the Gospels and why we have the book of Acts. And then we went into the Pauline epistles. And God mightily used the Apostle Paul to write 14 of the New Testament books of the Bibles, from the book of Romans all the way through the book of Hebrews. And so we made ourselves our way here to the book of 1 Thessalonians. Paul actually writes two letters, and an epistle is just a letter. And Paul writes two letters to this young church which was experiencing much persecution. And I think it's going to be a help and a blessing to understand the background as we give you an outline, if you will, and help you to understand what the book is all about. It's not an exhaustive study on this book, but hopefully it will give you a little insight so it will get you to have a greater desire to read it and get even more out of it. So 1 Thessalonians, go ahead and stand with me tonight. And we're just going to read verse 1 to start with, and then we'll be giving you the understanding of the entire book of 1 Thessalonians, all right? Are you ready to study and read and receive what God has for us tonight? One of the things that I try to encourage you to do every time we assemble ourselves together is before we assemble, just ask God to speak to you. You know, Jesus Christ established his church for this New Testament church age. And the help for the believer comes through his church. And you come to his church, you just sense his presence. He's promised to be here in the midst with us. You hear him exalted and glorified through the music if it's a biblical church. And then you have somebody, amen, preacher or one of the associates, stand up here, open up the very word of God and preach the Bible. And it's something that we have need of. It's foolishness to the lost world, but to a truly genuine born-again believer, it's something that we can't live without. We need it. And so let's take advantage of our assembly here tonight and receive all that God has for us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we bow before you. Thank you, Lord God, for what we've already experienced in this place tonight and this morning. And God, we thank you that we have this another opportunity to look into your word and hear the preaching of your word. And I pray that you'd empower it once again tonight. Pray that you'd give each one here that ear to hear exactly what you have for them this evening. We'll continue to work in our midst and bless during the preaching of thy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Paul's overall message, especially here in this first letter to the believers at Thessalonica, is really three different thoughts. The first is there's more to live for than this life. There's more to live for than this life because As we'll see, in every chapter of this book of 1 Thessalonians, Paul mentions something about the persecution that they're going through. You know, when you're going through some tough times, if you think this is all there is, this is what I'm living for, if you didn't know that there was more to live for than just this life, you might want to end your life on this earth a little prematurely. Amen. You might want to check out before it's time. But hey, we're going to go through persecutions. We're going to go through some struggles. Now, we're going to have the joy of the Lord during that. But the main thing is to, as you go through some of the trials and you go through some of the persecutions, you go through some of the tough times, realize there's more to live for than this life. Amen. Stay focused on Christ. This is God who came and lived as a man to give us an example to follow after. Now, that's something. When you truly get a hold of that thought, that God wanted us to have an example for us to look to as we go through all the different things of life, we have Jesus Christ. Stay focused on Him. And realizing this too, others are watching you. You don't know how God is working in and through your life. But can I tell you, if you're a born-again believer, God has you here for a purpose. God is working through your life. It might be your wife. It might be your husband. It might be your children. It might be your family. It might be your coworkers. It might be another church member. But there's others watching. Yeah. That's what's going on in this church. That's what they needed to hear. In every chapter, we find that Paul mentions something about their persecution. And in every chapter, Paul refers to the second coming of Christ, which is something that we all need to be mindful of, the second coming of Christ. In verse 1, as we read here, we find that this was a true church. This was not just a religious assembly. There's a lot of religious assemblies going on. But we find here that the Bible is written to believers. Paul wrote this to the believers at Thessalonica. Is a real church, not just a religious assembly. He says to this church, he said, now is Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, they were familiar with these three, under the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God, the Father. You have God as your heavenly Father because you're in Him. As a church that Jesus Christ established, you're in the Father. You have a heavenly Father that's creator of all things, that understands what you're going through, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. And because you're a genuine church and you're in God and in Jesus Christ, you can have the grace, which is actually the presence of God. Whenever you see that word grace, understanding it, that it is the actual presence of God. And we need God's grace. That means we need His presence all the time. But when you're aware of His presence, you find that that's the grace that'll get you through whatever it is that you're going through. Grace be unto you and peace from God. You can have this peace that passeth all understanding if you're in Him. From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This was a true church. It was established by the Apostle Paul. If you go back to the book of Acts with me, Acts in chapter 17, it helps us to know a little bit more about why Paul is writing and helps us to understand why he says the things that he says and why God wanted to record this and preserve it for us today. Because as Paul wrote this to the church of Thessalonica, he also intended it to be for the Lighthouse Baptist Church in this 21st century. Amen. God can do that. And so we find here in the book of Acts in chapter 17, the Bible says, now when they had passed through Amphipolis, well, that's a tongue twister there, and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner went unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures, trying to help them to understand that the Messiah had come, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. Now Paul is going into every area that God would lead him into, and he was to establish a New Testament church. In order to establish a New Testament church, they would have to believe and receive the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. That's how you establish, that's how you get somebody saved, and that's how you establish a New Testament church, and that's what you want to use to be able to disciple them and establish a church where they can be baptized in, New Testament church. And so he was preaching this, and some of them believed. Some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude. And of the chief women, not a few. That means this church had a lot of chief women, had a lot of Greek Jews. Had a lot of those that would believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. These are those that actually make up the church at Thessalonica. These were those that Paul led to the Lord, established this New Testament church. Now he goes on, because not only did he establish the church, but even in establishing the church, there was great persecution for those that would come out of Orthodox Jewish belief. To believe in Jesus Christ and to believe that he was the Messiah. And so the Bible says, but the Jews which believed not moved with envy. Moved with envy. And took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort and gathered a company, gathered a posse, if you will, and those that would do some damage. That's what he's talking about here. And gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar and assaulted the house of Jason, where Paul had been meeting to establish this church, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they had found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren into the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down." Now they meant that in a negative tone, but we praise the Lord for it. Because that's what believers ought to be doing, is presenting something that is actually eye-opening, something that they hadn't heard before, a truth that would change their lives. So they turned this world upside down, or come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. Okay, so that gives us a little more insight into now Paul is writing to them. And as Paul writes to them, he helps them to know you're a genuine church. And as a genuine church, you're in God the Father. You have a creator God that is looking down upon you, that is your heavenly Father that wants you to pray to him. And you have an example in the Lord Jesus Christ that gives you access to God the Father. And as you have this, realize in this world, not everyone's going to be for you. Matter of fact, most of the world is going to be against you. So go back with me now to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. And again, going through five chapters, in each one of the chapters, and that's what we're going to highlight here tonight, there is something that Paul mentions concerning their affliction or their persecution. And there's something in every chapter that he presents to them to keep in mind concerning the return of Christ. The return of Christ. His second coming. So we find here in chapter 1 and verse 6, he says, "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction." As soon as they believed and had assembled themselves together, and Paul was there instructing them and discipling them and establishing this church, immediately there was those that were upset, and there were those that wanted to come out against them, and they wanted to bring them out and present them to the crowds and discipline them or persecute them, put them in jail. They even wanted to appeal unto Caesar because they were under Roman law. And so there could be much persecution to this early church and these early believers. It was in much affliction. They received in word much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. In comparison to us today, concerning these kinds of afflictions and persecutions, can I tell you, in the United States, there is no comparison. What those early believers went through, there is no comparison. No. They were under Roman law. They were under state religion. Can I tell you that they went through a lot to stand for Christ? And if we would but just read and understand some of the things, if we would understand the roots and those that have sacrificed to bring to us where we're at today, our freedom of religion, the truth of the Bible. This Bible has been under attack ever since Jesus Christ presented it. His church has been under attack, and mainly through other religious groups, through state religion, has been under attack from the very beginning. The Baptist doctrine, which, again, as you know this, we are not Protestant. We have never been in the Catholic Church. Our roots go back all the way to John the Baptist, because he presented baptism. He presented Jesus Christ coming. He presented his death, his burial, and his resurrection. He presented the idea that we were to be baptized and identifying with Jesus Christ publicly. That doctrine that we hold to as Baptists goes all the way back. And if you would follow that trail of blood from John the Baptist all the way through to where we're at, where we are at today, you would have a greater appreciation for your Baptist heritage. There is something to that. I think we need to have a greater appreciation for our roots. And then the United States of America, that God has raised up to give us freedom of religion. This great Christian nation established by God to accomplish God's will, to allow the church to grow, to allow the church to evangelize the world. We wouldn't have those opportunities if it was not for the United States of America. I believe the United States of America is in prophecy. God had this great nation. He raised this great nation up so that his will could be accomplished through his church. Praise the Lord for it. Praise the Lord for it. Others are watching. Others around us that might not have been, might have never heard the gospel, who have been brainwashed by religion, who have been brainwashed by the philosophies of the world today, saying that there really is no God. It's just for weak-minded believers. It's just a crutch that you need. You have to believe there's a God in order to exist. Listen to me. What we believe is what God has revealed to us. The nature itself, an intelligent design in all things, the DNA of God, going back to the very creation, God writing it down, preserving it for us, giving us all the prophecies, and every prophecy that God has prophesied in the Word of God leading up to this particular church age has all been fulfilled. And as we go beyond the church age, listen to me, there are prophecies, and the next prophecy that will be fulfilled will be the rapture of the church, Jesus calling his church home. This is what Paul will refer to throughout this book of 1 Thessalonians. It's something that ought to encourage us as we read it and study it. Others are watching. In verse 7 it says, so that you were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. Other churches were looking to this church in Thessalonica because they knew that this church was under so much persecution. And they say, if they can endure, if they can continue to flourish, if they can continue to preach the gospel and do the work that God has called them to do, if they can do it, we can too. We come and assemble ourselves together and we look around and say, boy, if they can come on Sunday night, if they can come on Wednesday night, if they can sit and listen to a preacher just get up there and split and scream and yeah, there's something to it. You're an encouragement to everyone else around you who believes. Praise the Lord for it. Others are watching. So that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia, all the churches around, Paul said. He's writing to them and said, hang in there. There's more to this life than this life. There's more to live for. People are watching. You're doing a work for Christ. Down in verse 8 through 10, he says this, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. For they themselves show us that what manner of entering in we had unto you, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. You turned away from religion. You turned to a true God and to wait for his son. You believe he's still alive. You believe he resurrected. He's sitting at the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession for us. You believe that and to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. The mention of the second coming. The mention of Jesus Christ being alive. Wow. It's the same for us today. It's the same for us today. You know, as our laws change in America, and they will, when they'll change, who knows? I think the church needs to make sure that we voice our opinions, that we make sure that our voice counts. And when we come to election, take advantage of that opportunity to vote. Vote biblical conviction. And who you think is going to best support the church in accomplishing what God has a church here to accomplish. It's when God's people stop voicing and stop taking advantage of the opportunities they have is when you'll see things start turning. And people get in positions that establish laws that will hinder the church instead of help the church. Yeah. As our laws change, so will our need to stand united and our need for the grace of God to continue to stand and to accomplish whatever God would have us to accomplish as we get closer to that end time. So we find the book of 1 Thessalonians that helps us there. Chapter 2. Chapter 2, he mentions here some of the acts of persecutions. He says, for yourselves, brethren, know not, chapter 2, verse 1, for yourselves, brethren, know our entrance unto you, that it was not in vain. God did a great work there. It wasn't empty. But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. When they brought the word of God to the people of Thessalonica, we find that it was with much contention. If you look down to verse 14 now, it says, for ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus, for ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. Some that you really are close to, they've turned on you because of your belief. Who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us. And they please not God and are contrary to all men. They experience acts of persecutions. Because when they took the stand, they were persecuted by those who had no respect for Christ. Did not believe in Jesus Christ, nor the Bible, nor his church. Can I tell you, you're going to have family. When you stand, when you want to help them to come to know Christ as their Savior, When you have a burden for the lost and you have a burden for your family and your family doesn't want to hear it, you're going to have some persecution. You're going to have some ridicule. You're going to be made fun of. It's going to happen. But you know you have the truth. You know you're doing the work that God has you here to do. You might be the only Christ that any of your family members will see. You might have the only opportunity to present the gospel to them. They might not, they would not, never listen to me. They'll not turn on our show, on our television presentation. They'll not listen to another church member. They'll not take a track from someone knocking on their door. You might be the only one. Amen. Verse 19 and 20. For what is our hope? Now, this is some of the things they're going through. They would experience acts of persecution from even their family because the family did not believe. They had no respect for Jesus Christ, did not believe in his word, did not believe in his church. For what is our hope? Why do we continue to do it? What is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Our joy is looking beyond this world and seeing all who have been saved with Christ at his coming. We'll put up with a lot of ridicule. We can put up with a lot of persecution. We can put up with a lot of things if we just look beyond what we're going through in this life to see what's really going to take place is when a person leaves this world, dies in this earth, they go to be with Christ if they're saved, and Christ is going to bring them back. And those of us who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them, and we will be with Christ as he returns to this earth. The millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Wow. That helps us to get through that. Helps us to focus on things that are more important. Yeah. Chapter 3, persecution, verses 1 through 5. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone. I mean, Paul was under tremendous persecution. He had to leave Thessalonica because of the persecution. And sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. He sent them back because he didn't want them to turn away from Christ. He didn't want the persecution to be so heavily upon them that they would turn away. That no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. They would hear Paul's afflictions. Paul knew that he would eventually lay his life down for Christ. He was aware of that. How would that affect other believers? How would that affect the believers there in Thessalonica? They would hear of a lot of afflictions. Sometimes Satan uses the trials of others to hinder our belief. If there is a God, why did he let this happen to this church? If there is a God, why did this happen to this Christian family? If there is a God, why did they have to go through this? And why did they have to go through that? That's what Paul is writing. He said, had to know what was going on in your life. Sent Timotheus to encourage you in the Lord. Verse 13. To the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. He said, if you stay focused on that, instead of all the question marks, instead of asking why this person has to go through this and why this happens and why that happens, Stay focused on the truth. Stay focused on the end. And understanding that God has a purpose. Even though you might not understand it, God has a purpose. And one day it'll all be made clear. We meet with Christ and then return with Him. It'll all be made clear. Chapter 4. Again, something about the persecution that they're going through and the hope that they have in the second coming. Chapter 4, look in verse 13. Some will suffer death through persecution and even through natural means. And he says here in verse 13, he says this, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope." Paul knew that he would be sacrificed, he would die a martyr's death. But he said to them, he said, "When you think about me, don't think about me as being dead. Think about me as being asleep." Because if you're truly saved, then you'll never die. To be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord, and you will be alive. You will be in the presence of God spiritually, but then you will be reunited with a glorified body the same time that all of us get reunited when we receive a glorified body, and we will be together once again. Can I tell you, that is what we need to focus on. That is what will get you through the tough times of this world and the persecutions of this world and the sadness of this life. We're going to face losing those that we love. It's appointed a man wants to die. You might lose somebody through persecution. You might lose as they would have during this time and during the early years of the church. There was much persecution. There was many people martyred for the cause of Christ. But they're not dead. Puts a whole different look on things. It's a different perspective. When you believe God, they're not dead. He's talking about those that have died in this life, but he says, don't be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Think about them just sleeping until the rapture takes place. That you sorrow not, even as others, the lost that have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven, and with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Hallelujah. It'll make a difference. It'll make a difference. Chapter 5. In chapter 5, we deal with a lot of things. To highlight it, look at verse 14 and 15. Paul writes in his closing of this letter, he says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly." Even in the Christian realm, even in the church, there's going to be some that's going to be unruly. Satan's going to try to get the church to implode. Gates of hell will not stand against it, but he'll work on the inside to get you to devour one another. Because God knows the church is our hope. It's our help. It's our place of encouragement. It's our place of refuge. We can't allow it not to be a place of refuge. If there's something that's keeping this from being a place of refuge, do something about it. Because if it's not a place of refuge, Satan is working to hinder you. You need the church. Jesus established it for us so that we could continue to do the work that he's called us to do. So he says here, he says, now exhort your brethren, warn them they're unruly, comfort the feeble-minded. Just think of that person as being feeble-minded. It'll help you. Amen. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. Give people the benefit of the doubt. Amen. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Everyday things that we'll face. Relationship issues in our families, our churches, and society. How are we to face all these things? In closing out this letter, Paul tells us that. Verse 16. Rejoice evermore. Have you just stopped? Instead of thinking about all the negatives, instead of thinking about what you don't have, will you just stop and consider how God's blessed you? Everyone here has something to be thankful for. We all have more than Satan wants us to think we have. If you stop and think about those things, it'll cause you to rejoice. Pray without ceasing. Be aware of God. You have a heavenly Father. He's the creator of all things, and he wants to communicate with you. He's got an open phone line. He gives every one of us an open line directly to him through his son. Pray without ceasing. Take advantage of it. In everything, give thanks. It's the last time you look to God and say, thank you, Lord. Get around somebody that's blind. You know what that leads you to do? Be thankful for your sight. Go to the nursing home. Be around somebody that has no control of their mind. Give you thanks for that sound mind. Be around somebody that's lost a limb. You'll be thankful for that arm. Amen. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. Because God knows this is what we need to do in order to make it through this life. And accomplish what God has us here to accomplish. For this is the will of God and God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Despise not preaching. Take advantage of every opportunity you have to hear the word of God preached. Take advantage of it and look to receive something from it. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Don't give Satan an opportunity to hinder you. Stay away from it. And this is what it'll do. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless, and here it is, unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every chapter. Every chapter he says, yeah, you're going through this, but stay focused on this. Yeah, this is happening. Yeah, it is. Stay focused on this. His overall theme, there's more to life. There's more to live for than this life. Stay focused on Christ and be aware. Others are watching. If I could have every head bowed. Every eye closed. Great book of the Bible. What an encouragement to all believers, especially to those that want to serve God and be all that God wants you to be. Make an impact on your generation. Make an impact on your family. What a great book of the Bible. Father, we bow before you tonight. We love you. Thank you, Lord God, for giving us the insight into this book of 1 Thessalonians, and Father, helping us to have a, maybe even a greater desire to go back and read it all the way through and get even more from it, understanding that there's going to be tough times. There's going to be trials. There's going to be tribulation. There's going to be persecutions. But oh, how you've given us something that'll help get us through that as we think about our God. Think about future prophecy. Think about the blessings that you want to bestow upon us. Now, I pray, God, that you'd work in our hearts and our minds. I pray as we give this invitation, God, anyone that needs to make a decision tonight, they would not hold back. They would be coming to this altar and make that decision while they still have an opportunity to do so. Bless now in this invitation. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.